You can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Love, which has always had a big significance in the world. I think tonight we might be exploring a whole different meaning behind it. We're basically talking about putting the two words together, and you've got a film called Occupy Love. And we've got the director of that film with us today, Velko Ripper. The film invites us to go into a journey deep inside the revolution of the heart that is erupting around the planet as Velcro asks the question, how could the crisis we are facing become a love story? Now, the film Occupy Love explores the growing realization that the dominant system of power is failing to provide us with health, happiness, or meaning. The only paradigm that concentrates wealth, the old paradigm that concentrates wealth, founded on the greed of the few, is causing economic and ecological collapse. The resulting crisis has become the catalyst for a profound awakening. Millions of people are deciding that enough is enough. The time has come to create a new world, a world that works for all life. And the film connects the dots in this era of rapidly evolving social change. And it features some captivating inside stories and some activists, as well as some teachers that we can learn from. At least that is the pretense of the film. This is going to be quite interesting, actually, because not everybody agrees that this is the way to go. And it'll be interesting to see where we can take this together, because it seems like we all need to agree on something. And Occupy Love just might be that thing. We'll be right back here on Life Changes with Filippo with our guest, Velcro Ripper.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWay's ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWay's ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWay's water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWay's water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and I'm sitting here with Mark Legere, and we're about to have a great conversation, I'm sure, with Velcro Ripper, who is the director of Occupy Love. Now, those are two big words, and you know, occupy in front of anything. I'm not sure what to feel. I know when I first heard about Occupy Wall Street, I thought, wow, some people are doing something, and that's cool. And then I saw what some of the people were doing, and I thought, well, that is not cool. And then I thought, well, at least we're having a conversation, that's cool. And then the conversation kind of collapsed upon itself, and I'm like, and that's not cool. And I'm like, well, and then I went back to, at least they're doing something, and that's starting a conversation, and that's cool.
And that's cool. You know, the one thing I've learned in my journey is that change doesn't come with a rule book. And I think that's what we're going to be talking about today. This whole Occupy movement, the idea of love, the transformation that's going on the planet. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that one day, you know, people all over the world decided to stand up and start fighting for their rights.
Right.
Now, did they know how to do it and what way to do it? Some took taking a passive route, some taking a very passionate route. You know, those rules weren't evident for them.
Yeah, good point. You know, and when people would ask me, what do you think? You know, I'd always say, I believe that there is something happening. And sometimes when something happens, like when you're making a cake or something, you know, you throw egg and flour together. And for somebody that doesn't know, that's going to turn into a beautiful cake at some point, things gross. That's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, right? Well, something is obviously happening, and I think that's the whole idea. It's so easy for us as humans to kind of judge the moment, you know, to take a look from our current perspective and say, wow, this doesn't feel good, or that doesn't feel good, or that feels right. But if you step back and look at the collective and look at the changes going on, look at the changes in the way information is distributed and what we're seeing on the internet, something massive is clearly happening.
Yeah, when I would say to people, okay, look, this is what they're feeling, then they need to do it. I'm not saying I'm not feeling that, but I'm feeling that I need to do something different. I'm doing this. I'm doing coaching. I'm doing what I feel I need to be doing. They're doing what they feel they need to be doing. Obviously, some few people have been doing what they think they feel they need to be doing or have been doing all these years.
I think you just tapped into the heart of it, right? It's personal empowerment. The individual is starting to stand up for themselves as opposed to being governed, being whether it's suppressed or just afraid to move or whatever the case may be, the individuals are starting to stand up saying, what do I really want? Who am I really? And what is the next step I'm going to take?
Yeah, and what I think Velcro seems to be all about from looking at his trilogy of movies and all of that, I haven't gotten to see Occupy Love. We're going to get to see it tomorrow night when it premieres here in Los Angeles. So that's going to be cool. So we haven't gotten to see this one yet, but from everything we've heard and from learning about Velcro, that he's saying, well, you got to come to, you have a favorite saying, you're saying, what is your love?
What is your passion?
Yeah.
What is your bliss? You know, different ways of saying it.
And he's like saying, you gotta get to love. And so that's cool. And yet, I don't know if a lot of people know what love really is. So before we get into that, why don't we bring in our guest? Let me tell you a little bit more about him. Velcro is a Canadian Academy Award Genie winning filmmaker, writer, sound designer, and public speaker. He creates powerful documentaries that deal with the central issues of our times. Occupy Love is the culmination of his epic Fierce Love trilogy, which began with Scared Sacred, named one of Canada's top 10 movies of 2004, and winner of the 2005 Genie, the Canadian Academy Award for Best Feature Documentary. It continued with 2008's award-winning Fierce Light, When Spirit Meets Action. Boy, that's saying a lot. So without further ado, welcome Velcro Ripper on the show.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeitel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we're here with Velcro Ripper, and we're talking about the film Occupied Love. And before we took a break, Velcro, you started to say something about this is not about occupy anything but love.
Yeah, I think that it's really important to understand the film and the whole trilogy is tracking the pulse of the planet from the year 2000 to 2012. And in particular, what I was looking for was stories of the empathic evolution, moving towards greater and greater empathy, this evolutionary trajectory that I was on. And so the film takes us all over the world. We go into the Arab Spring, the European summer, the Occupy movement. We go to Bolivia, looking for new models of change and looking for them at their best. Now, from listening to you guys earlier, I think that you saw some of the negative qualities of the movement, and I think you can see them in every movement. But what I found at the heart of it, and I look for this was people really genuinely coming from a place of compassion, trying to figure out how to solve the great problems of today. Not that we have the answers, but this coming together, working together to try to figure it out. And the problems are so huge that we're coming at it from many different directions.
Yeah, just to be clear, I think we were pointing them out, that we were seeing both sides and definitely understanding both sides. As a matter of fact, I always said, if we're talking about oneness, then there is no such thing as 99% because there's 100%.
The last line of the film is, this is for the 100%.
Right. Well, see, now you gave away the last line of the film.
I know. It's not a line. It's text. It's okay.
I'm still going to go.
It's not a deal breaker, trust me.
The interesting thing to me is, well, there are a lot of interesting things here. I read a statement that you said, Occupied Love is the movie I have been waiting to make all of my life. Today's global awakening is what my earlier films have been anticipating and fostering, a current of potential that was pulsing and rumbling just below the surface. Suddenly, the volcano has erupted as the popular Occupy sign reads, "The beginning is here." So that's a big statement to say that this is a film that you've been waiting to make all your life, especially after such successes as the trilogy starts with Scared Sacred and then, of course, Fierce Light, which has gotten a lot of great reviews. So could you kind of guide us through the first two into the third and why this is the film that kind of culminates what you've been wanting to do?
Sure. Scared Sacred was my journey to the ground zeros of the world. And I traveled to places like Afghanistan, Hiroshima, New York City during 9/11, Cambodia, Bhopal, and India, looking for the survivors, and the survivors who had their spirit intact in some way. And I wanted to find out what strategies they used to get through these great crises. And I found two things. the way that they found the sacred within that the scared. One was having a sense of meaning, which was different for most of them, but having a sense of depth and meaning in some form got them through. And the other was taking action in some way. Some form of action got them through. That was the two main strategies or ways of transforming crisis. Mm. And that led me to Fierce Light, when spirit meets action. And that looked for stories. That's when I started looking at this question of bringing together doing and being. Bringing together depth and the heart and putting that into action in the world. What does it look like when you bring those together? Because often in my own life, there was two sort of schizophrenic sides to me. There was my spiritual side and there was my action side, the side that wanted to take action in the world. And they were kind of separated. But I felt this need to integrate them, to bring them together. And that's what really Fierce Light was about. And as I was shooting that film, I started to get the sense that there was this movement of movements emerging around the planet that was starting to bubble below the surface. And so I set off to make Occupy Love, which was originally called Evolve Love. And it asked the question, how could the crisis on the planet become a love story? And I was traveling around the world looking for these stories of love. And as I was shooting the film, the Arab Spring emerged in 2011, and this whole wave of participation started happening all over the planet. In Europe, it was called the European Summer. Hundreds of thousands of people gathering all across Spain and Italy and Greece, coming together in an uprising. And that, in turn, spilled over into North America in the form of the Occupy movement, which then spread all over the world. And the way that I understand what these are reflections of, and I'm not particularly interested in any one brand, because I think it's more what's beneath the surface here, which is this wish to try to find a new paradigm and bring it forth, and this desire and this recognition that the old paradigm, which is based on materialism and based on a kind of consumer culture that's actually destroying the planet, is crumbling. And what is something that can, what's emerging to replace that? And that's what we're seeing. It's a cultural shift more than anything. It's a consciousness shift more than anything that manifests in many different ways. But it's a response to a global crisis, which is, I think, which we're facing both economically and ecologically.
Well, couldn't agree more there. Now, you know, the word love, I have a feeling, I have this feeling deep inside of me that you and I are going to resonate on this. I have become known for telling my life coaching students, stop following your heart, because it's not your heart that you're listening to. We are so used to listening to what we believe is our heart, or have been told is our heart, or are told or have learned what should be in our heart, or all of that stuff, that we're not actually listening to our heart. Now, I say stop following your heart until you're connected to your heart. So with the whole love thing, my whole feeling is love has become so... I don't even know the word, Mark. Love has become so fake, so fragmented, so, yeah. and so if you say to people, well, you know, follow what you love or find the love, what kind of love are we talking about? Like the love of cake, the love of love that TV show. What love you? What love?
Yeah, that's a really important thing. And my film is not about Hallmark love per se.
That's the word. Love is that's the word. It becomes a Hallmark. Thank you.
The company, our company is called Fierce Love Films, and the love we're talking about is fierce. You know, Rumi said that love is the annihilation. It's annihilation because it's the annihilation of the ego. It's the dissolving of the false self and getting in touch with the authentic self. And that's the kind of love I'm talking about. And at a deep level, I really believe that I sense, in a deep knowing way, that love is what has been the driving force of this whole unfolding story of 14.4 billion years of evolution, that the creative life force itself is love. And it's what connects the dots. It's the great connector. I noticed you had Nassim Hirmi on the show earlier, and I actually interviewed him and asked him that question, which he answered beautifully in a next installment. We'll be hearing from him. But he sees it as in terms of even quantum physics, you can talk about love at that level.
Oh, I was waiting for you to go into it.
I can keep going, but I daren't paraphrase Nassim because he's so right. Brilliant. But, I really do feel it's like a fractal. You can find it at every level. And yet we've been taught we have a hard time connecting it with it in a true way. Even this lack of self-love that we have in the West, is a serious issue. We think, oh, how do I get my self-love? We confuse that with narcissism. But that's not what healthy self-love is. It's the self, the true self. We have to come back to what is that authentic self? And how do we, it's always there. It's like the sun that just goes behind clouds sometimes. It's always there. We all have this divine spark within us. And as we evolve, we get more and more in touch and aligned with that. But of course, it's no straight line.
I love that you said that. I remember getting into arguments with a loved one, and I would say, okay, I understand we disagree, but let's not forget we love each other and we're going to love each other after this. So let's not be mean to each other while we try and find what it is that where we can agree.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work with that particular person, but at least not.
Well, romantic love is a whole other thing, and then in Occupy Love, I don't actually go into romantic love, but one of these days I will, because the romantic love is, of course, deep and powerful, but it's not necessarily the same as the public love that I'm exploring with Occupy Love in particular, and the more universal love. Romantic love is its own thing, and we're all working on that, I'm sure. Yeah,
but it's very. In listening to you speak and knowing Nassim's perspective on this, I thought I'd mention, to the kind of what has worked for me is, and I'm curious as to how this resonates with you, is really comparing that aspect of love and resonating at that purest level with music. And an explanation that I think is common to a lot of people is when you're using like the older style radios and you can tune out of phase and then in the phase and you're getting more and more of the music, or then you go back off spectrum and listen to get less and less of the instrumentation and you come back in. That's kind of what we're doing as a collective, right? Is dialing into that full orchestration of that higher vibration, that full body of music.
Mm-hmm. And how do we come into harmony? This idea of unity and harmony is really, really key, and I think it's great to bring up as we're talking about that, is that also really important to understand that diversity is absolutely key to unity and is the strength of unity. When you think about an ecosystem, biodiversity, it's united and it's a full system, but it's united and strong through its diversity. So we need to celebrate diversity within our understanding of unity.
And there it is. By the way, my analogy, I didn't present it as romantic love, but it happened to have been. I think it does apply actually universally, because in the same way, when we try and screw each other in business, it's like, okay, I understand you have a need for money, but remember that we love each other, or that we are one, and so let's find a way that this business deal will work for both of us. Same kind of thing, right? And all kinds of relationships.
The key to understanding is this idea, and this I think is an evolutionary idea, is the idea of mutually enhancing relationships.
Nice.
Now this understanding that more for you is more for me. Your happiness is also my happiness, because we're interdependent. And when you come from that understanding in all of your endeavors in life, from how you do relationships, and from how you do transactions, how you do exchanges, it coming from that understanding changes everything. And, coming from a place of gratitude, generosity, and mutually enhancing relationships is going to take you a lot further than coming from a contracted place of fear or greed or selfishness, which actually, I think, tends to isolate you in the world.
Mm.
Well, you know, one of the things that I really liked that I saw you speak at something that I loved how your personal evolution from your spiritual background to your musical background led you to some things. And before we get to those things, could you tell us a little bit about that evolution from your spirituality to music, et cetera?
Sure. I mean, I was raised, when I was a kid, I was raised in the Baha'i faith. It's a very positive religion that sees the unity of humankind and the equality of men and women is very important. And so I was raised in that belief. I left it when I was an adult to go off on what the Baha'is call the independent investigation of truth, which is very important to me. And in my 20s, I used to call myself a Sufi Buddhist Baha'i punk rocker. And that became sort of that was my identity shaping. That's actually when I got my name as well when I was 19. It was originally a punk rock name. And it's interesting because I bring a bit of that punk energy, which is a sort of edge, a little bit of an edge, right, to bring that into my spiritual practice as well. As a Canadian, it's good I'm spending more time in New York because we tend to be a little too nice, but there's something to be said about this directness in that freshness of that energy that I cultivate as well. But coming from, always rooted in love.
And that's exactly what I wanted to get to, is the fact that you have this contrast. And you were saying something when I was watching you on video, something about power without love, love without power.
Uh-huh. Core to the film. That's one of the early statements in the film, and it's Dr. Martin Luther King that says that, and he says that the love without power is sentimental and anemic, but power without love is reckless and abusive, and I think we're seeing a whole lot of power without love in the world today, and that's causing a lot of pain and suffering, and when we talk about how do we create change in the world. If we do that from a place of just love without it being imbued with real power, then it's ineffective. So how do we really bring that energy into our love? And that's the fierce light. That's the fierce love. And that's definitely been something that I look to how do we become integral? How do we become whole?
Yeah. Wow. The film covers all that, huh?
It's a big part of the film, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. What else can Central we expect when we see this film tomorrow?
Well, there's some beautiful visionaries in there and some just really intimate views inside these revolutions, including Tahrir Square in Egypt when it was at its apex. People that you're probably familiar with, like evolutionary biologist Elizabeth Satouris, Barbara Marx Hubbard. So there's the conscious evolution dimension to it. And then the more political side of things with people like Naomi Klein and Bill McKibben from 350.org also weigh in. And so I'm weaving together this portrait of an extraordinary time. So it's a mixture of the action of the times, of the social movements, with a deep thought sort of on love and the meaning of love. And people like Hawaiian elder Kumu Raylene is in the film, and she just touches so deeply into the meaning of love.
Wow. Well, I'm being touched just from having this conversation. I'm feeling like there's something to this that's feels good to me.
Hmm.
And the interesting thing is that the film, like you said, the whole Occupy thing, there's left a confusion in my mind a little bit, and we talked about it from the beginning. But the film was actually called something else before, right?
Yeah, and think of it as the film is about the Occupy Love movement.
Occupy Love movement, right. But wasn't it called something like Evolve?
Oh, wait, the film was called Evolve Love originally, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But right. I brought in the Occupy because I wanted to really tap into the zeitgeist that I was experiencing of the times. And so the film, I threw my lot in with that movement, and it's a challenge because I know that people immediately sort of bring all these preconceptions, and you, and if you got your news through the mainstream media, there was a lot of misrepresentation as well. What I experienced firsthand in places like Zuccotti Park, Occupy London in England, or with the Indignados in Spain, or at the heart of Tahrir Square in Egypt, what I experienced was people who, many of whom had never done anything like that before, who weren't activists, it was their first time ever arriving. They were coming from all over the world to New York, to Zuccotti, to join in something they just felt. And it was almost like that spirit that happened in the 60s, you know, where there was that whole feeling of possibility. Rolling Stone magazine called it a generation going on strike against its own culture. Mm. So it was really an amazing flowering time, and it's shifted and it's moved, and there's new things going on, and it's part of this whole evolutionary trajectory, but it's part of our history, and it's connected to this overall movement towards an increasing empathic civilization. I believe it's part of that story. What's next? I don't know what's next, but I do know that we can expect surprises, because we've been seeing rapid change, because things can happen so quick now with social media. Recently, there was a beautiful thing called 1 Billion Rising, which happened all over the world. It was women coming together to stop violence against women, and that was happened in thousands of cities around the world, and it was a dance-fueled movement. You know, so we're seeing these kinds of really surprising things sparked and generated and shared through social media. In Canada, we have the Idle No More movement, which is an indigenous rights movement, which is also very powerful and directed by women as well. Speaking of women, it's really women leading that movement. So the divine feminine, I think, is really rising up as an important force. I'm seeing these things, and one of the things I do as somebody who travels the planet and goes firsthand into these stories is I take the pulse of the planet and I try to connect the dots between these different stories to create this meta-narrative that we're not weaving together, because the mainstream media doesn't connect dots. It sees everything in isolation and doesn't look at overarching trends and meta-stories.
Hmm. Wow. You know, you're touching on so much, and we're all sitting here in the studio saying, well, I have a question. And our producer has a question introducing you to Scott Steele.
Oh, okay. Hi, Scott.
So I'm hearing you, and you're so in touch with not only Bob and the planet and all. I wonder how you got your name.
Yeah, that's a good question. When I'm doing a Q&A at a film screening, and if there's ever a moment of awkward silence where somebody can't come up with the next question, I say, come on, you got to have a question. At least you want to know what's my name, right? I'll tell you the story. I got it when I was 19, and I was the only punk rocker at a rainbow gathering. I don't know if you know about the rainbow gathering, but there are these huge gatherings of hippies. And I was the one punk rocker there, and everyone was, you know, named Feather and Fern and Crystal, and I was Steve, and they were like, wow, that's weird. And my last name is Ripper, so somebody actually came up with the name Velcro, and it stuck, and I kept using it, and then they were like, Velcro, that's weird, and I said, no, it means the Velvet Crow, so that passed.
The Velvet Crow.
Someone's not in Los Angeles, where else can they see or find your film?
Yeah, you can find it online right now at OccupyLove.com via the Yekra player. We just started working with Yekra. Just launched it this weekend, and I'm really excited about that. And it's also the Yekra model of releasing, and it can be seen on the Yekra player all over the world, is a model very much in keeping with the idea of the film, which is about shared power or horizontal distribution, which is the new model as opposed to top-down. And in this model, anyone can host the film all over the world and also share profits, profit-sharing as well. And it's kind of dispersed distribution and people-by-people distribution of the film, very much people-powered. So that's a great way to watch it, right directly from our own website. And we're on tour. We're going to LA tomorrow night, and then San Francisco on Wednesday, Santa Cruz, and then Seattle next weekend. And right now, it's playing in theaters in New York City.
Someone's busy.
Yeah, I'm busy. This is a very busy time. I should be bagging you guys.
Give that website to us again, would you?
OccupyLove.com.
OccupyLove.com. And of course, you can always find this kind of stuff at LifeChangesWithFilippo.com, LifeChangesNetwork.com. As a matter of fact, we have a link up to the player. We're very familiar with the Yepra player, and we're big fans of it as well. And it's very well said, the way you put it, and it's very much in line with what you're doing and what you're seeing out there in the world, and filming, for that matter.
Yeah, it's our whole approach, you know, and it's this new, it's a new paradigm, and this is, I think, part of the new paradigm. The film was also crowdfunded through Kickstarter and Indiegogo. 900 people got together and chipped in to help fund the film, which is beautiful. When you watch the credits, all those people kind of scroll by, and I always love that. I love watching those names, because that shows how much love there is for this new paradigm and how much support there is for it.
Well, that's something I can occupy right there. So I feel good about that, and I feel great about having had you on the show, especially you being so busy. But we're going to get to meet you tomorrow night here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
When you come out to screen it here, and look forward to that.
Yeah, please come to the theater if you're in L.A. There's some still tickets left, and you can get those also at OccupyLove.com. Just go to screenings. Theatrical film tour, and you'll get to see us in person for the Los Angeles theatrical premiere of Occupy Love.
And what theater is that?
It's at the Lamley Royal in Santa Monica.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah, at 7:30 tomorrow night. But get them online first, because they might sell out.
At OccupyLove.com.
Yeah.
So, Velcro, thank you so much. We look forward to meeting you, and we'll connect more, we're sure.
All right, thank you.
With us.
Great talking to you all, and love to you.
Love back to you. Have a good night there in Brooklyn. And we'll be back here on Life Changes with Filippo with our producer's wrap with Mark Legere and I right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic. And The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen. And the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a Galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, this is Filippo, and I'm sitting here with Mark Lejeune. And Mark, that's such a big topic. You know, I don't know that we could have done it justice. Hopefully he does it justice in a two-hour movie or however long it is.
Well, I'm sure, given having looked at his work before and certainly hearing his perspective and framing out the movie a little bit more today, that he does just that. It is a huge topic, but we're in the middle of a huge transformation. So, there's a lot of different perspectives to weave in here. But I think his approach at really looking at the solutions or from a positive perspective at the solutions that are abundant and that are surfacing and that are uniting, I think that's paramount.
You know, the National Post said of him, if anyone can find the silver lining in a mushroom cloud, it's this astounding, thoughtful filmmaker. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with this topic.
You know, and that's such an important point. You know, if you look back at anything you've been involved in, any change you've gone through in your life, there's always a positive that comes out of it. And most of the time, we don't see it at the moment that it happens.
So we're definitely not looking for it.
And definitely not looking for it, right? And sometimes it takes a long time to be able to look back and say, wow, look at the beauty that came out of that event. And, people become closer through challenging times. You know, countries become closer It's part of what I think is going on here is this unifying of the planet. And though that's part of what I was saying at the beginning when we were talking about is we're so quick to judge in that moment from that perspective, but we're not yet seeing the grand design.
No, absolutely. I hope he didn't get the wrong impression, and I don't think he did, but I definitely wasn't putting it down. And when people would ask me, I'm like, you know what? They're doing what they feel, and I'm grateful because on some level I feel that too, and this is how I do what I'm feeling.
Well, and new attempts to do things in a positive, proactive, unified, and yet keyword peaceful way.
Yeah,
you know, not necessarily knowing exactly how to do that or what are the right ways of doing it, and you know, some of those ways gotten some people's nerves, others were totally embraced, and I think that's the beauty of it is you know, we're trying new things. We as a society are trying new things, and you know, as opposed to just reverting to, you know, bombing and shooting and whatever else.
Yeah, well, and ironically, there's some bombing and shooting going on in figuratively, because I've gone to new events that are awkward, that are not well put together, and people would say, you know, look at this. They're supposed to be spiritual. They're supposed to be this or that. And having done events and knowing how hard it is sometimes to try something different and then put something together, either with no money or whatever, it's not necessarily easy. So
this is definitely not easy. There's a phrase that is used often in psychology, and it sounds complex, but it's really simple, and it's called cognitive dissonance. And the simplicity in it is that anything that is different to what your beliefs are can be challenging or not feel good. Mm. And so that's what we're entering into, something that is in cognitive dissonance, something that is different or challenges the current belief system doesn't feel good. If something doesn't feel good, then it's uncomfortable. If it's uncomfortable, then you tend to react. And that's what we're learning, is to get past that, or we're challenging that cognitive dissonance so that we can get into a place of embracing these new rules and new paradigms.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org. Or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org. Or telephone 323-592-3181. Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
You know, I had a friend who used to have a manager at work, and he'd say about her that every time he would bring up a good idea, she'd say no, and then later she'd think about it and she'd say, you know, that's actually, maybe we should try that, and it ended up being a really good idea for everybody. And so he says, one of these days I'm just going to test her. I think she's just a no person. I'm going to say to her, hey, I want to give you $1 million. I just know she's going to say no, because that's how she is.
There are so many people, especially when you were talking about the business world, and you know, when people are operating from a perspective of need or demand or what the business is desiring at that point in time, you know, the propensity to say no is kind of first because they're not necessarily looking out towards that fair place that ultimately is going to win for both of them, because they're looking at that what I need place, what we need place at the moment. And that's so often what happens at an individual level.
We're talking about a shift that is so deep and is so, it's like tilling the soil. It's not like pulling a couple weeds here. We're just tilling the soil completely. So it's a mind thing that's happening on so many levels. And it's not just about, oh, we should think this way. It's total tilling the brain.
Well, we're learning that obviously the programming that is at a conscious level is one thing, but the sciences are now showing, and Velker mentioned some of the quantum mechanics aspects of this, but when you look at the quantum nature, when you look at cellular biology, cellular memory, the fact that we have learned now that memory exists in water, it exists in our entire system, that from a holofractographic perspective or a fractal perspective, we're learning that the entire universe and entire memory can be replicated at a cellular level. Mm-hmm. When you start thinking that deep, you start realizing that what we're doing is going to the very essence of our light programming, and we're starting to strip down to a basic truth. And that means change has to happen on levels that we're not even consciously aware of. And I think that's where the depth comes from. So it has to happen and then happen again, unlearn and relearn.
You know, when I would do something dumb as a kid, my uncle used to say, you ice head, in Italian, I can't translate it. That's the translation, you ice head. And I'm thinking, what, a block of ice has memory. Back then I had no idea, but it's intelligent. Don't insult the ice.
but how powerful. I mean, everything is memory. You know, we're learning that. And so when you look back to some of these aspects of you talked about frequency and love and tuning in and out. I mean, that's what's brilliant about Velcro's perspective and what he has filmed. And I'm so looking forward to seeing the picture in its complete form, so that it can see all aspects of what he's representing, because that's ultimately what we're doing, is coming into phase with a higher vibration, with this love frequency that's beyond our collective definitions, which are vast, you know, many, as you were pointing out earlier, of what love is.
Yeah, and you know, listen to this, the John Lennon of documentary filmmakers, that was said about Velcro and his film Fierce Light by Michael Markwick of SFU Communications. And defiantly hopeful was Al Franklin's quote on Fierce Light. So I can't wait to see the quotes that are going to come out on this one. So especially since it's a film that he's been wanting to make all his life. So here it is. We've started the conversation as if we didn't start a long time ago, but we're certainly continuing it in a big way. And we look forward to doing even more with these themes as we move forward. This is Filippo here on Life Changes with Filippo. On behalf of all of us here at Life Changes, we want to thank you all for being with us and reminding you that as life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes.